From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to his examination of verses 12 through 21 of chapter 5. Our text is found in verses 15 through 17, a passage which many find difficult to understand. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will show, these are some of the most important verses in the entire Bible. In the preceding message, we saw that the entire human race has been condemned to death because Adam's sin has been imputed to all of his posterity. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will begin to explain the great contrast that exists between Adam as the federal head of the human race and Christ, who is the federal head of those who are united to him by faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said, "All who are in Adam die. All who are in Christ live." In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message called Christ's Abounding Grace. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John chapter 18 and verse 8. Jesus said unto them, "If ye seek me, let these go their way." Mark, my soul, the care which Jesus manifested even in his hour of trial towards the sheep of his hand. The ruling passion is strong in death. He resigns himself to the enemy, but he interposes a word of power to set his disciples free. As to himself, like a sheep before her shearers, he is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. But for his disciples' sake, he speaks with almighty energy. Herein is love, constant, self-forgetting, faithful love. But is there not far more here than is to be found upon the surface? Have we not the very soul and spirit of the atonement in these words? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and pleads that they must therefore go free. The surety is bound, and justice demands that those for whom he stands a substitute should go their way. In the midst of Egypt's bondage, that voice rings as a word of power, "Let these go their way." Out of the slavery of sin and Satan, the redeemed must come. In every cell of the dungeons of despair, the sound is echoed, "Let these go their way," and forth come despondency and much afraid. Satan hears the well-known voice, and lifts his foot from the neck of the fallen. And death hears it, and the grave opens her gates to let the dead arise. Their way is one of progress, holiness, triumph, glory, and none shall dare stay them in it. No lion shall be on their way, neither shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. The hind of the morning has drawn the cruel hunters upon himself, and now the timid roes and hinds of the field may graze at perfect peace among the lilies of his loves. The thunder cloud has burst over the cross of Calvary, and the pilgrims of Zion shall never be smitten by the bolts of vengeance. Come, my heart, rejoice in the immunity which thy Redeemer has secured thee, and bless his name all the day and every day.
Christ suffered 'neath God's wrath.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts continues to be most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Tonight, as we continue with our studies through the book of Romans, we come to Romans chapter 5 once again. And again, we're going to read the section, verse 12 to 21. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Romans chapter 5, and tonight we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 17. Let me remind you of the end of verse 14, where he says, Adam is the figure, the word is the type, of him that was to come. Adam, he says, is a type of Christ. What Paul means here is simply that in justifying believers, by imputing to them Christ's righteousness, God is following the pattern which he laid down in his dealings with all men in Adam. For he imputed Adam's sin to all his posterity, born to him by natural generation. That's the whole meaning of Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. Those verses show us clearly that in Adam, and in Adam's first sin, all men sinned. All men died. Remember, we noted the force of the verb in chapter 5 and verse 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that or because all sinned. All sinned. While in English there are times, it shouldn't really happen, but while in English there are times we're a wee bit slovenly in our use of the tenses of verbs, in the New Testament scriptures, you should always pay close attention to the tense of the verb. In Adam, all sinned. All died. And all came under condemnation. And all on account of that first sin of Adam, by which he breached the probationary command of God given to him in the Garden of Eden. And what Paul is saying here is this: as God justly imputed Adam's sin to all his natural born posterity to their death and destruction, so he justly imputes Christ's righteousness to all his spiritual seed, namely to his believing people, to their justification unto life. Now that is the parallel that Paul here establishes between Adam and Christ. Adam is a type of Christ. And you must keep in mind that this parallel is the fundamental and the overriding truth of this entire passage of Scripture. If you don't grasp that, then you have missed the meaning of Romans chapter 5. And if you miss the meaning of Romans chapter 5, quite simply, it is very hard to see how you can ever come to understand the gospel in biblical terms. You see, according to Paul, Adam and Christ were both of them divinely appointed to be the head of a race of people. They were divinely appointed to stand for those people as their head in a covenant before God. In that covenant, each of these acted not only for himself, but acted for his seed. And each of them passed on to his seed the effects of his own personal work. Now, in a nutshell, that is how Adam is a type of Christ. This is the parallel between them. But now in verses 15, 16, and 17, Paul shows that though parallel, the cases of Adam and of Christ, and the way in which the effects of their actions reach their seed, are not precisely similar, or not precisely alike. You'll notice that verse 15 commences with the word "but." Now in English, as in most languages, "but" is a very small word. We were laughing just before we left home. I have a friend who hopes to be visiting us in a very short time from England to spend a month with us here in the United States. And he and I went to school together, primary school, and then diverged to different later schools. But we were in the same church, and we remained friends all our lives. Quite a considerable period of time, I might tell you. But we were laughing, Joan and I, just before we left, because he gets a little bit ticked off that he lives in England now. English people don't have the slightest clue about the most basic parts of English grammar. I don't know why that ticks him off so much, but it really does. And so he was sitting in Stanley Barnes's home, where Joan and I stayed during our time in Northern Ireland. I wasn't there. I was back here at the time. I didn't get to witness this glorious spectacle. But they were having a conversation. And suddenly, out of the blue, Brian just wheels in Stanley, took him completely by surprise, and said, "Do you know what a conjunction is?" "What?" "Do you know what a conjunction is?" Maybe I should go around and ask, "Do you know what a conjunction is?" Well, "but" is more of a disjunction than a conjunction. And this is a fairly strong word that's used to denote this. That while there is a connection with what goes before, there is now a sudden difference in emphasis as the argument is progressing. So he starts with this "but," because now he's dealing not so much with the similarity between Adam and Christ. He's dealing very clearly with major points of contrast. Points that to him are so important and crucial that they stand as essential to what Paul is teaching as the basic parallel itself. His subject here is very simple. And we notice the ground in which I base this as we get into verse 15. But the subject is very simple, and yet it's sublime. What Paul is talking about here is grace abounding to sinners through Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the contrasts, and we're going to look at the conclusions that Paul draws tonight. As we start with the contrast, we emphasize that in verse 15, he says, much more than. Verse 17, he repeats those words, much more. In other words, he's saying there's an obvious difference between Adam and Christ. You see, Adam was not only the covenant head of his people. Adam was the natural root of his people. All humanity, physically, was in Adam. Not just covenantally, but physically, all humanity was in the loins of Adam, our first father. He is the natural root, and he is the father, physically, of the entire human race. So that Adam's seed is a natural seed. So the first contrast that Paul is drawing here between Adam and Christ is the contrast between the natural and the spiritual. Because while Adam is the natural root of the race and his seed is a natural seed, the Lord Jesus Christ is purely the spiritual head of his people. Now Hebrews 2 shows us, and this is very important to the whole gospel story, that he shares our human nature. The Lord Jesus didn't just look like a man. He was a man. He didn't have a nature similar to our human nature. He had our human nature, though sinless, by the miraculous working of the Holy Ghost, the virgin birth in the incarnation of God's dear Son. But he shares our humanity. However, he is not the root of our humanity. He is in no way our progenitor. His seed is not a natural seed. His seed is a spiritual seed. So that our being in Adam is a physical thing. You have it by birth. Our being in Christ is not by birth. It's not by genealogy. It's not even by any carnal ordinance. In other words, nothing that is physically done to you can put you into Christ. So much for the rubbish and the heresy of baptismal regeneration. Nothing that is done physically to any person can put him into Jesus Christ. That union with Christ is something entered into spiritually, and therefore it is entered into by faith. Now this contrast between the natural and the spiritual is fundamental to all the other contrasts that are here set forth in Romans chapter 5.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.